Today on The Journey.
Today, I want to give you an anchor. I want to give you some footholds, some handholds to grab onto, because sometimes in life, you just need to hang on and ride out the storm.
Do you know the God who walks with you down this storm-tossed road? Is he an anchor when pounding waves threaten to batter you into submission? Well, who you think God is when troubles crash into your life is critical to conquering the storm. Today, Ron Moore uncovers the sure foothold that's anchored in God's character, in who he is. It'll bring comfort to your trembling soul. Also, please note that we have an encouraging publication we'd like you to have. In its pages, you'll rediscover the sense of God's presence that was lost in disappointment or disaster. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you more about it later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with the message, God, who are you in my shaken world? On the journey.
Glenn Chambers was a young man with a big dream. Chambers had a desire to work with the voice of the Andes, and through that great ministry, share Christ over the airwaves with people who may not have heard of him and may not hear of him, except through the radio. But that dream died, as did Chambers, on February the 15th, 1947, when his Avianca airline flight crashed on the way to this ministry, right into the peak of El Blotzo near Bogota. Before leaving the airport in Miami that morning, Chambers wanted to write a quick note to his mom. And he couldn't find anything to write on, and so he started looking and found a scrap of paper on the floor. It was an advertisement. And on the advertisement were the letters WHY? And so he scribbled the note above it and to the sides and below the word, and then he put it in an envelope and sent it to his mom. Between the mailing and the delivery, Chambers was killed in that crash. So when the letter arrived, there staring at his mom right in the middle of the note was that haunting question, why? There are things in our lives that shake us to the core and leave us with one question, why? Why me? Why now? Why this? Why not? Peter DeVries described the issues that cause us to ask why as a question mark turned like a fish hook in the human heart. And we are left with the pain of the hook. Not long ago, I ran across some letters written by children to God. You've seen some of these. Here's one written by Anita. Dear God, is it true my father won't get into heaven if he uses his bowling words around the house? Joyce asks this question, Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. You get that right. I like this one. Dear God, it rained for our whole vacation and is my father man. He said some things about you people are not supposed to say, but I hope you will not hurt him in any way. Your friend, but I'm not going to tell you who I am. Just in case you can make a connection with me and my dad. Here's a little boy named Harvey. Dear God, Charles, my cat got run over. And if you made it happen, you have to tell me why. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it, to collect and compile letters to God written by us, by adults. Our letters would lose some of the innocence of childhood, and our words would be more guarded. But no doubt, we would have the same types of questions, same types of issues, same confusion would underscore each line. Our goal in this series is not to answer all the why questions, because we simply can't, and we won't pretend to. Our goal is to live life with an anchor, so that when the inevitable storms of life come, when our world is shaken, we can get through them. Yes, with pain. Yeah, with confusion. Yes, with the difficulties. But we can get through it with an unshakable faith. You see, in some way or another, to some extent or another, at some time or another, each of us, we either have experienced and probably will again these extremely difficult times. After I completed my second year in college, I moved home for the summer. I knew it was going to be a difficult summer for two reasons. My dad had just been diagnosed with cancer in March and was given 6 months to live, and so we were going to work through that during the summer. Also, in an unhealthy way, my identity was tied into sports, and I chose a college based on the one that would give me a scholarship, and so I was at that college for 2 years, and they dropped their program. And so now I was headed home and had the summer to try to figure out where I was going to go play next. I just started dating Lori, and a storm had gone through our area. And Lori and her family were leaving on vacation the next day. It had been raining for about 3 or 4 days, and I wanted to see her before she left. My dad told me I shouldn't go. It was late. And I went anyway. It was raining hard the whole time I was there. It was raining harder when I left. And to get back into Lori's house, you have to go on this little road, and there's a little creek with a bridge over it, and you have to cross the bridge. And when I left that night, it had rained so hard that this little creek had turned into a river, and water was going across the bridge. Normally, I'd been through those situations before, and you just get a good start with the car, and you plow through the water, and you make it through the other side. But on the other side of the bridge was a curve, and so I had to slow down. And when I did, my car stalled, and I was stuck. Tried to get out and walk back to her house, but the water now was coming even harder, and I couldn't make it. And so I sat in the car and wondering what in the world I was going to do, and my car started floating down this creek that was now a river. My friends thought it was funny, too. It wasn't at the time. It stopped by a tree, and now, unbelievably to me, this creek now is flowing over my car. And so I got out. I got on the top of the car, pretty precarious situation. I learned that it was slippery, and I slipped and fell down the front window onto the hood, into the water, grabbed onto a branch, and finally, to make a long story way less interesting, got up into a tree. And I held on to that tree until I got some help. As I thought back on that story, I just thought, that's the picture of what I want to try to do today. When I was up there in the middle of this storm, in the middle of raging water, I was wet, I was confused, I was scared. But I had something to hang on to, that tree. And I knew that tree wasn't going to go anyplace. And I knew, even though I did not want to be in the situation that I was in, and even though I didn't understand why I was in the situation I was in, and even though I didn't know how long I was going to be there or how I was going to get out of it, I knew as long as I held on to that anchor, that tree, it was going to be wet, but at least I could be safe and ride out the storm. That may be a picture of your life. You may be in a storm, and you don't understand it. You don't know how long you're going to be in it. You don't know why you're in it. But today, I want to give you an anchor. I want to give you some footholds, some handholds to grab onto, because sometimes in life, you just need to hang on and ride out the storm. And that anchor for us is not a tree, but that anchor is none other than the person of God. And so today, we want to talk about God. Who are you when my world is shaken? And I want to put before you these footholds and handholds of the person of God. And I want to give you four attributes. There are many attributes of God. We won't have time to go through all of them. But this morning, just these four. Here's number one. The God we serve is all-knowing. He is omniscient. Psalm 139 says this, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my coming in. You are familiar. I love the New American Standard Bible's translation. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from what? The will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than sparrows. You see, I don't even pretend to understand why your world has been shaken, but I do know this. God has not forgotten you. And you can cling to this anchor of His omniscience. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows what you're going through. He understands your pain. It's not just that He knows your proximity. He knows the level of your emotion. He knows your questions. He knows everything about you. And that's an anchor you can hold on to. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, we have one, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Deliverer, the Protector. We have one who we can cling to. And not only do we just cling to Him, He has been tempted in every way as we are. He knows rejection. He knows pain. He has experienced every emotion that we have. And there He sits at the right hand of God, able to sympathize with our weakness. You see, the omniscience of God is not just some high and mighty doctrine. It is an anchor that you hold on to in the midst of the storm. He knows who you are and where you are and understands. I'll not always understand what's going on in my shaken world, and I will not always understand why I am going through what I'm going through, but here's what I have to know. I have to hold on to the anchor of God's omniscience, and secondly, I have to hold on to the anchor of His omnipresence. God is all present. That means that God is everywhere at the same time in His full being. And here's why that is an anchor I have to hold on to when my world is shaken. Because wherever I go, He's right there with me. He will never leave me. Psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will what? Hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God is always with you. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What a great promise. Because God is omnipresent, not a high and mighty doctrine. It is an anchor to hold on to, because wherever you are, He is right there with you. He is there in your brokenness. He is there in your pain. He is there with your questions. He will never leave His children alone. Think for a moment about the disciples. What was one fear the disciples always had? Remember what it was? That Christ would leave them. They were with Jesus physically in this little sliver of history. And when they walked with Jesus, they always feared, what's going to happen when He leaves? He talks about leaving. Don't go. We need you with us. Until He explained this truth. John 14, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter to be with you forever. the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and in you. In the midst of a shaken world, God's presence is always with us, even when you don't feel like it. Now, let's take that down one more level. Here's what the anchor of God's omnipresence does, even when we don't know it. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Spirit lives within us, right? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. You ever been there? Maybe your world is shaking and you don't know how to pray. Sometimes the world is so shaken you can't even pray. But the Spirit Himself, remember, who lives within us, intercedes for us on our behalf when we don't know the words. He's praying for us with groans that words cannot express. He prays for us at such a deep level that we could not even put it in any known language. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. Even if we did know how to pray, we wouldn't know how to pray exactly for God's will. We just want to get out of our circumstance. But the Spirit is there praying at such a deep level, and he's praying a perfect prayer. Here's the third thing. God is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. That God is all-powerful means this: there is nothing he cannot accomplish. You see his power over nature. You see his power over illness. You see his power over death itself. He is omnipotent. There is nothing he cannot do. Okay, so if God's omnipotent, then why? Why do people die way too early? Why do people get sick? In 1981, there was a rabbi who tried to deal with that question, Rabbi Harold Kushner, and he wrote a book that's become pretty well known, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And Kushner was trying to reconcile everything going on in the world with things that happen in our lives, and he basically concluded God was extremely frustrated. He said, when you look around at the pain around you and the suffering, you have to conclude one of two things. Either God is a good God and not all-powerful, or he is an all-powerful God but not all good. And Kushner concluded that God was good but not all-powerful. Here's what Kushner says. God wants the righteous to live peaceful, happy lives, but sometimes even he can't bring that about. It's too difficult even for God to keep cruelty and chaos from claiming their innocent victims. There's only one word to describe that quote: heresy. The God we serve is all-powerful. In the midst of your storm, I just want you to hang on to that truth, that God is all-powerful. Because when you hang on to that truth, here's what eventually will happen. It may not happen today, and it may not happen tomorrow, but if you hang on to that anchor, eventually your questions will turn to trust. See, if God is all-powerful, he could fix your situation. But for whatever reason, he's not. He's asking you to trust. And at some point, if you hang on to that anchor, the pain is still there. But you can say, God, you are all-powerful, and yet this happened. I have to trust you in that situation. I have to trust that this somehow, although I cannot imagine this in my highest imagination, I can't imagine how this could ever work out for good. And you know what? I may never know how this fits, but I trust you. But in the meantime, the power of God does something else when we trust. Philippians chapter 4, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here's what God can do in the midst of your storm if you hang on to him. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. You see, there is a peace that just is above and beyond all human understanding if you hang on to the anchor of God's omnipotence. God is all-knowing. God is all-present. God is all-powerful. And finally, God is all-loving. God, John tells us in 1 John, is the essence of love. He is love. And that means as His child, as one who has trusted in Jesus Christ, as His child, His love for me and for you is perfect. That means it is unconditional. It is complete. If you're His child through Christ, there is nothing you can do to make Him love you more. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you less. God loves us with a perfect love. He is all loving. And that's an anchor to hold on to. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Skip down to verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things, give us everything we need? You see, if God loves us so much that He would send His Son to die on our behalf, that is the ultimate gift. That's the ultimate love. If He loves us that much, He's going to give us everything we need, even in the midst of the storm. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Shall hardship? Persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And then Paul says this, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Verse 38, Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that is an anchor that you can hold on to.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. An awareness of God's presence is a source of great strength and stability in difficult times. But when He seems silent or absent, our pain is magnified. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there just now. For times like these, Ron has prepared a devotional guide to help restore that feeling of God's closeness. It's called Unshakable Faith in a Shaken World. Packed with eternal truth from God's Word, it'll gently lead you into His presence. You can get your own printed copy for a donation of any amount when you visit us on the web at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your donation today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
So we've asked some questions we can go to God's Word and find the answer to. And we've started with, God, where are you in my shaken world? And we learned through Scripture that God is with us. His presence is with you all the time. We asked the question, God, who are you in my shaken world? And we said, He's all-knowing, so He knows exactly what I'm going through. Today we want to ask the question, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in my shaken world? I know you're with me. I know who you are. You have my attention. What are you trying to teach me? C.S. Lewis said this, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but He shouts to us in our pain. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So you can say, hey, God, you got my attention. What are you trying to teach me? What's the takeaway here? What do you want me to do with this broken heart? I'm listening. Well, to help us answer that question, we're going to consider a man whose name is synonymous with suffering. So if you take your Bibles, turn with me to the oldest book in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the book of Job. But my purpose will be to make some observations to help us understand what God may be teaching us by seeing what He taught Job.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And we encourage you to get your copy of Unshakable Faith in a Shaken World. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, we invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.